Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 20. And this morning we're going to be speaking on the 16th benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in His Son, and that is that it allows us to live by the same faith that Jesus Himself lived by. And remember, the just shall live by faith, but not just any faith will do. As we see in Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet, it's not I that's living, but Christ is living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Your gracious Father, we have read from Thy holy word, knowing that, Lord, You are the author and finisher of our faith, the faith. And Paul said, I live not by my faith, but by the faith of the Son of God who gave Himself for me. And so, Father, we pray that You would help us as we would study this day upon faith, what it is, the difference between our faith, Your faith, and the people's faith, and Your faith, Father, the faith. And so, Father, we just ask that You would bless these words, and may they help us, Lord, to, as Paul said, when we've done all we can do to stand, then simply to stand. And now we ask Your blessings upon this word and ourselves, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, the Apostle Paul is not telling us here that we are to live by faith. To the casual reader, it may appear that way, but notice how specific the Apostle Paul chooses his words. Notice he said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And the word of is an acronym. It actually is an acronym. It means out from. O-F is out from. Now, there are many times in the Scripture that Jesus says the words, thy faith hath saved thee, or thy faith hath healed thee, or thy faith hath made thee whole, or thy faith hath made thee well. And in all of these, the same Greek word sozo is used. It has both a spiritual and physical meaning, and we see the word used for healing, saving, and making well in the following scriptures. In Matthew 9 and 22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. In Mark 5 and verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. In Luke 7 and 50, he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. And Luke 18 and 42, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. In Acts 14 and verse 9, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now the Greek word sozo means to save. It also means to keep and sound, keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. And it also means to save from injury or peril, suffering from disease, to make well, to heal, to restore to health, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save or rescue, to deliver from the penalties of the judgment. So we must ask ourselves, what is this faith that sozoed them? For people can have faith in a tree for healing. Brother Bram said, you know, if the people had faith in that tree, he says, he says it's your faith that does it. It's your faith that operates the gift. He says, you're waiting for me. God's waiting for you. He's waiting for your faith to operate. So we need to know then the difference between this faith that we have and this faith that Paul's talking about that he's living by. Because he didn't say it was his faith. He said it's the faith of the Son of God. So we must ask ourselves, what is this faith that sozoed them? As I said, people can have faith for a tree to heal them, and by believing that, they get healed. So what then is the difference between thy faith and the faith which Paul said he was now living by? You may use your faith to receive healing, but Paul is telling us in our text today that he is living by the faith of another, specifically the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his faith that matters, not yours, not mine. When it comes to this, God does not even concern himself with your faith. He is not even interested in your faith when it comes to receiving eternal life. Nor does your faith bear any substance with God. And we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not seen. And yet it doesn't bear any substance with God, even though faith is the substance of things hoped for. And unless your faith is the same faith that God gave to His Son, then it means absolutely nothing to God concerning receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving God's life. Because we're told in Ephesians 4 that there's only one faith. The Mohammedans have faith. They can walk over hot coals. They can pierce themselves with balls of, you know, these balls filled with water with hooks on them and pierce themselves and jump up and down and tear their skin and not feel a thing. Their faith can do that for them. But it doesn't save them. It doesn't give them the new birth. In Ephesians 4 and verse 5, Paul said there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And these are all tied in that. The one faith is the faith in that one Lord. And the baptism is in the name of that one Lord. And that one baptism that he's speaking of here is not water baptism. He's speaking of Holy Ghost baptism. And that is what Paul is speaking of here. For he said in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." And William Branham said the same thing in his sermon, God's Only Provided Place of Worship. He said there's one Lord and one faith, one baptism, and that's Holy Ghost baptism. Mm-hmm. The water baptism just puts you in fellowship with the people that you recognize that you have accepted Christ. That's true. But it's Spirit baptism. I can call the name of Jesus over you and baptize you. That doesn't make it so. But when once that Holy Spirit, really genuine Word, comes into you, the Word, Jesus, then, brother, the message is no secret to you then. You know it, brother. It's all up, it's all lit up before you. And then he says, hallelujah. So you see, we're not talking about just an act that you do, although that act is very good. And it could be a great act that you do. But we're talking about what God has promised through His Word. He's talking about coming alive by the Word to the Word. Therefore, Paul is speaking of only one faith, and he tells us it is the faith of the Son of God. In fact, William Branham also said from the sermon, Palmerworm, Locust, and Caterpillar, he said, you might have a faith, but we want the faith. You might have a faith. Well, the Catholics have a faith. The Baptists have a faith. Pentecostals have a faith. There's one as Pentecostals, they have their faith. There's Trinitarian Pentecostals, they have their faith. But he says, but we want the faith. Earnestly contend, that's argue for, stand up for, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. When were they called saints? When they were sanctified. The Holy Spirit sanctified them. They were called saints. Now Jude says, he was a brother, a foster brother of Jesus. I want you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Don't never let that faith drop. And the faith of the saints was not in creeds, not in denominations, not in church buildings, not in associations, but it was in the presence of the living God. They had faith to heal the sick, cast out devils, do miracles, all the great promises that Jesus made. That first church held on to that. It was the lifeline. So the faith is in the presence of the living God. In Ephesians 2 and verse 8, Paul says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Grace does it through faith. And that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Then your faith is not what does it, but that faith which is a gift of God to you, and that is revelation, something that's been revealed to you. Notice, by grace are you saved through faith. In other words, by grace is it revealed to you. God saves you by grace, through faith, through revelation. And that revelation opens up the avenues of grace. It gives you access to God. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9 we read, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And so we see it is not what we do or can do, but what He did for us. In Romans 3, verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of, out from, Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us here is a sinner, saved by the grace of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that we might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay. But by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. In other words, it is nothing that you have done or could do or will do, but simply that God has already done for you and to you and through you and in you. Now what concerns me is that the people over time... they come to the place where they lose sight of the faith of Christ. And they look to their own flesh as the important thing with God. But God has never and has never been impressed or moved upon by man's faith, except when it comes to healing and some things in that nature. But even in the Bible, you see many people who never do get saved are healed because they have faith for healing. But when it comes to God's life, God is impressed and moved upon by His own faith. And that faith is a revelation. And if faith is a revelation, then when they lose sight of that faith, they're losing sight of the revelation. And Brother Brown taught us that the greatest of all revelations is the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. So you must understand by revelation the Godhead, in order to understand the relationship between the Father and His Son, and how you also have the same relationship with Him as your own Father, and you as one of His sons. And then by that revelation, you begin to live. And you begin to be made alive. From the rapture, Brother Ram said, but to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that has been revealed to you like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it even wasn't. That's what faith is the revelation of God. And the church is built upon the revelation, the whole entire body. Works is faith expressed, Brother Branham said. Now, faith is a revelation from God. Now, faith is a revelation. There's where I want to stay there just for a moment. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by His grace. It's nothing that you did. You didn't work yourself up into faith. You never had faith. It's given to you by the grace of God. And God reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation. And the whole church of God is built upon the revelation of Christ. Now, just think about that for just a moment. Paul said, by grace are you saved through faith. By grace are you saved through revelation. Then it's grace. Now, what is revelation? It's something that's been revealed. Did you work it up yourself? Did your great mind come to these conclusions? Did you have some great power within you to do this? No. God simply opened your eyes, and He didn't open your neighbor's eyes. He opened your eyes, may not open your brother's eyes or your sister's eyes. May not open your parents' eyes or your siblings' eyes, but He's opened your eyes. That's grace. And that shows that you had nothing to do with it. that it was revealed. And upon this rock I'll build my church. You see? From anointed ones at the end time, he said, what is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you. See, the problem is, people think faith is something they can muster up. If I can just concentrate enough, it'll happen. No, it won't. If I can just kind of will it. The Bible says, what man by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature?
That's right, amen.
You can't do it. It's not a mind over matter thing. It's not a mental prowess. Nor is it a heartfelt feeling or conviction. Faith simply is a revelation. And it's by grace because God gave it. He opened your eyes. He didn't open your friend's eyes. That's faith. That's revelation. And so Brother Brad said, what is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you. That is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. I like that. Because Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. So by revelation, and the churches today don't even believe in spiritual revelation. They believe in a dogmatic teaching of some system. But by revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified that he was righteous. Amen. I hope you see it. See that. See where we're living. See the hour. Notice the Bible says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What did Cain offer? And Cain's sacrifice was considered evil, wicked. Why? It was out of season. Cain offered first fruit offering. He offered a biblical offering, Numbers 26 or Deuteronomy 26, first fruit offering, but God rejected it. Why? Because it wasn't by those fruits. It wasn't by an apple, as Brother Branham would say. It was by an act. It was by the mixing of blood, the serpent's blood with Eve. Therefore, by the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. From invisible union of the bride, he said, what is a revelation? Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Faith is a revelation because faith has been revealed to you. Abel by faith, offered by God, faith, offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. From works as faith expressed, he said, in an audience of people, where a prayer line comes through, you'll find some, and they were all good people, we'll say. But there's some that are trying hard to believe. Trying to work themselves into it. Some just can't do it at all. And others, it's just by grace. It's just given to them. Now, there is a difference, see? That does it. That's the real revelation because faith is a revelation from God. It must be revealed first. I want you to think about this because many times, you know, we think of faith as being something that you can muster up. Some intellectual or some emotional drive that, you know, if I can just get myself into this condition of faith, then maybe, you know, something's going to happen. What about all of those Pharisees that you could stick a pin through the scroll and they could tell you every letter it passed through? They knew the word that way. But when the word came to them and it was manifested exactly what was written, they couldn't see it. Yet a prostitute by the name of Mary Magdalene saw it. Brother Brown said, I would have people that are really devoted Christians come through the line for healing and get nothing. And he said, and I'd have a streetwalker come up and get healing. And they'd walk away healed. You see, it's not your righteousness. It's not anything that you can do. It's simply, is it revealed to you or not? By grace are you saved, and that through faith. That by a revelation. He said they're trying to work themselves up into something. Some just can't do it at all, and others it's just by grace. It's just given to them. Now, there is the difference. See, that does it. That's the real revelation because faith is a revelation from God. It must be revealed first. Therefore, we should never underestimate the importance of revelation. For by revelation we are saved, and by revelation we're justified. And by revelation we are sanctified. And by revelation we receive the Spirit of Christ. And by revelation we are given new birth into the family of God. And by revelation we have access to God. And by revelation we live and move and have our being. From the Church Age book, chapter 1, the introduction to the revelation of Jesus Christ, paragraph 9. The importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. Revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. Now, I am not talking about this book of Revelation and you. I'm talking about all Revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 16 where Jesus asked the disciples this question? He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you're John the Baptist." I guess reincarnated. "Some say that you're Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now the Roman Catholics say the church is built upon Peter. Now that is really carnal. How could God build a church upon a man so unstable that he denied the Lord Jesus and cursed while doing it? God can't build his church upon any man born in sin. And it wasn't some rock lying there as though God had hollowed the ground at that spot. It isn't as the Protestants say that the church is built upon Jesus. It was the revelation. Read it the way that it's written. "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it, but my Father hath revealed it, and upon this rock, revelation, I will build my church." The church is built on revelation, on the "thus saith the Lord." And there is one faith, so there's only one revelation. And that revelation is what justifies you. And that revelation is what gives you access to God. And that revelation is what sanctifies you, what gives you new birth. So what is that revelation? Paul said there's only one Lord and one faith, one revelation, and one baptism. And that baptism is the name, is in the name of that one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that one baptism is the baptism of the one Spirit by which we are all baptized into that one body. So the revelation of that one Lord allows us to be baptized in His name. And with that baptism in water, we have a promise to receive the baptism which is of and by the Spirit of the one Lord. And that brings with it justification from our sin and forgiveness and all the divine promises of God. Now you say, "Well, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus say, 'The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand?'" Yes. Elohim said unto Adonai, "Sit thou at my right hand." Now, does that not mean that there is only one Lord? There's only one Lord. Now, you are all lords. You men are lords of your family. I'm not talking about that kind of Lord. I'm talking about there is only one. When it comes down to sovereignty, there's only one that is Lord, and that is God. Jesus was not sovereign. Therefore, he was not Lord, although God made him Lord, because God indwelt him. He was made both Lord and Christ. Why? Because it was the Lord that inhabited him. The man was not Lord, but the deity that indwelt the man was Lord and is Lord and always shall be Lord. He is the sovereign one. You see? Now that doesn't mean that we couldn't worship Jesus, because we could worship Jesus. He's the expression of the Father. It doesn't mean that he was not made Lord. He was made Lord. But Paul, when he says there's one Lord, he's talking about the absolute sovereign one. There's only one absolute sovereign, and that is God. Even in the New Jerusalem, the pillar of fire be at the top, and then the Son of God, the Lamb, and then the bride, and then the 144,000 in the city, and then the nations of people outside. Okay. So there's one faith, which means there is one revelation, and that revelation is what justifies you, sanctifies you, fills you with the Holy Spirit. And one baptism is the baptism of the one Spirit by which we're all baptized into one body. And if the church has lost sight of the one faith, the revelation of Jesus Christ, then they are without God. Remember, in Laodicea, he's on the outside trying to get in, knocking, knocking, knocking. So they don't have God. For the Apostle John said in 1 John 5 and verse 10, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." Well, who's the witness? It's the Holy Spirit. "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the report or the record that God gave of his Son." So those that are oneness in their thinking and think that the Son is the Father, they're not believing the report. Neither are they that think that there's three believing the report. The report is that there's one God, and He had a Son, and He raised up that Son from the dead. And that Son was subject even to death. And then the Father raised Him up. In 1 John 5 and verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So if you don't echo the Son, you're not echoing life. He that hath, that Greek word is echo. And if you're not echoing the Son, and what did the Son say? Not my will, but the Father's be done. Your will be done. He said, not my words. He said, the things I teach, the Father commanded me that I speak. Therefore I teach. He said, it's not my doctrine, it's the one who sent me. He said, the Son can of Himself do nothing. But what the Son seeth the Father do, the Son doeth likewise. You see, He had surrendered Himself. And He says that he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He that cannot echo the Son and do the same as the Son echoed to us doesn't have life, because he doesn't have the same nature that Jesus had. Wow. Think about that. You want to know if you're born again, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, look at where your desires are. Don't look at your flesh. I'm not talking about flesh right now. Because this flesh is going to pull. Look at the desire that's deep within. Is my desire to do the Father's will? Is my desire to only say His doctrine, what He says? Is my desire to only act out those things which He has called me to act out? Or is my desire continuously in sin? Like Brother Bell told a young man years ago, the young man was fornicating. He said, well, I want to ask you just one question. The guy said, I didn't do it. He said, and Brother Rabbi said, did you enjoy it? He said, yes. He said, you did it. Where do you get your great enjoyment? Is it from the things of the world? Or is it from the things of God? Where do you get your great satisfaction in life? Is it from the revelation of His Spirit, His Word? Or is it from the things that you can do, the carnal activities that go on in life? That'll tell you. In 2 John 1 and verse 9, he said, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Echoes not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. Now notice what the Apostle Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by what? By revelation. The just, or those who have been justified, live by revelation, period. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If any man draw back from what? Well, what's he talking about here? He's talking about faith, which is a revelation. And God says, if any man shall draw back from this revelation, he has no pleasure in that man. Romans 1 and verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, since we understand that faith is revelation, if we are to believe that faith is revelation, something that has been revealed to you, then we should read the word faith as the word revelation, and thus we will insert revelation where the word faith is used. For then is the right wiseness of God revealed from revelation to revelation. For therein is the right wiseness of God, the right thinking of God, revealed from revelation to revelation. How do you get the right thinking of God? By revelation. From revelation to revelation. As it is written, the just shall live by revelation. In Galatians 3 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul further tells us, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by revelation. I think this message is for me. I really do. You may think the same thing. I was praying the other night, and I said, Lord, it would be so easy if you would just come down and show me yourself like you did William Branham, like you knocked Paul down on the road to Damascus. I would just so much appreciate being able to have some thing to hold on to. And then his words came to me, where Paul said, you know, I immediately conferred not with man, but I went out into the desert for 3 years, basically studied the word, and he said, and by revelation, I'm telling you what I'm telling you. You see, God doesn't make it so easy for you and I. He doesn't make it to where God visibly appears before you. Brother Miguel, could you do that in the other room, please? God, by revelation, the just shall walk by revelation. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 9, in Hebrews 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by revelation. Romans 1, verse 17, for therein is the right wiseness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is, that as it is written, the just shall live by revelation. So the just shall live by revelation. In Galatians 3, verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by revelation. Galatians 2 and verse 16, he tells us, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the revelation of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And notice how even Jude, the brother of Jesus, spoke on the importance of taking a stand for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jude in verse 1, in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the revelation which was once delivered unto the saints. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit expressly speaks that in the latter time some shall depart from the revelation. Not just revelation, not just faith, you know, not just some shall depart from faith, but some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, if the warning is that some shall depart from the revelation, then why do they continue to fight the understanding of the Godhead? It's because they are ordained to depart from it. In Philippians 3, verse 9, and we found in him not having mine own right wiseness, which is of the law. Now, stop. Let's just examine the scripture a minute. Paul says, and that we be found in him, not having our own right wiseness, which is of the law. In other words, taste not, feel not, do this, do that. Anybody can read. Anybody could have a right wiseness if they can just read. But he says, not being found in him. Not having our own right wiseness, which is of the law, but which is through revelation of Christ. Through the revelation of Christ, the right wiseness which is of God by revelation. In other words, it's not just being able to recite the Ten Commandments and live a good life. It's by being revelated to the very presence of God in your midst. And the relationship that God has offered as sons. And the Apostle Paul makes it pretty clear in Ephesians 4 that you cannot truly have a unity of the revelation except by the knowledge of the Son of God. Ephesians 4, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the revelation and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In closing, we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul lets us all know that the main thing is the revelation. And that is the only thing worth fighting for. I have fought a good fight, he says. I have finished my course. And I have kept the revelation. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, the Apostle Paul warns us that there will arise men who are perverse because they are reprobate concerning the revelation. And the word reprobate means unapproved and worthless. So we see that these men resist the truth because their own revelation is worthless. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the revelation. Reprobate concerning the revelation of what? Remember, there is only one revelation, and that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what do? They say the body went back to gases or some silly notion as that. But do not worry about them and don't even fuss with them. The Apostle Paul made it clear in Romans 3 when he said, Romans 3 and verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the revelation of God without effect? Look, I've often said, as Brother Branham said, if I have to drink branch water and eat soda crackers and preach to the four posts of the church, I'd rather have a church that's empty and preach to the four posts the truth than to have one filled up and preach a compromised religion, a compromised word. And so Paul says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Make the revelation of God without effect? So, we've got about 1 billion Catholics in the world. They far outnumber those in the message. So what? We've got about 1 million people that claim the message in the world. 500,000 just in Congo. And that million versus the maybe less than 1,000, maybe only a few hundred in the world, that actually believe the message. Maybe 1,000. So what? Will their unbelief make the revelation of God without effect? Will their unbelief stop the rapture from taking place? God's word is true, and every man's word is a lie. Finally, in closing, in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, Paul says, examine your own selves, whether you be in the revelation. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? I want you to think about that. He says, don't you know that unless Jesus Christ is in you, you are a reprobate? How important, then, it is to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How important it is, then, to recognize we are nothing without Christ in us. William Branham said, you know how important I am? He said, take your finger, put it in a bucket of water, pull it out, and the hole that's left in the water, that's how much God needs me. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet you know what? It's no longer Saul that's living, but Christ is living in me. And the life that I'm now living by, I'm living by the revelation of Him who gave His life for me by that same revelation, knowing that God would raise Him up. Are you taking God at His word? Jesus breathed on them in the upper room. He went, and He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, because You are the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And Your Son Jesus said, the words that I speak, the Father instructed me what to say, and that I teach. He said, the words that I speak are spirit, and they are truth. Receive ye my spirit. Receive ye my word. And Father, we just pray that as we receive Your word, Your very life would begin to multiply in us. Take over our own thinking. For we know the greatest battle that's ever fought is in the mind. Satan wars against us daily, trying to fill our minds with other things than the things that You would have us to know. And so, Father, we surrender. As we sing that song, I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.